This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I wanted to tippy-toe around it. People said, Ken, no, go at him. I says, fine. But I still want to tippy-toe around it because I love the guy. I love Jose Ramirez. He is the face of Cleveland sports. But this postseason, and really for his entire career, the postseason, he hasn't been very good. And I know that there's Stephen Vogt. We can be frustrated with Stephen Vogt, but damn it, Lima brought up that lineup, and I just can't use Stephen Vogt as a catch-all and a scapegoat for a lineup that's still, you know what, got a C-ball, hit ball, still a simple practice, still got to do it. And they weren't able to do it, and Jose Ramirez is the leader of that lineup, and he's the veteran that we have. And he just isn't holding up his end of the bargain, Tone.
And it is the one advantage you're supposed to have in this series. Well, a couple of advantages that you had the closer. We know what happened there in game two, but also that you have Jose Ramirez, somebody that has been so vital for, you know, a decade now. And, you know, he's had playoff moments there a long time ago. We think he's due, and he has been due. And I really thought, I think we all collectively thought that this postseason was going to be his opportunity to put his stamp on a Hall of Fame resume. And so far, it's been atrocious. And you could tell. You could tell yesterday after he popped up in the eighth inning, the camera was on him and the amount of frustration in his body. It wasn't just his face. It was his entire body. He can't believe what's going on right now. He's clearly pressing. He's not alone. But the problem is all those other guys pressing are looking at him. And you just feel if Jose could come out of this, it could change everything in this series. So, Kenny, the opportunity is there tonight. No rest this time, no day off in between. He has the opportunity tonight. But if it goes like it's gone so far in this series, it is going to be a long offseason, and there's going to be a lot of discussion about what the hell happened to Jose Ramirez.
It's it bothers me, clearly, to make this mention. It bothers me to talk about it. I'm a fan of Jose Ramirez. He hasn't held up his end of the bargain so far. And it's been a postseason. It's been a bunch of postseasons that just can't do it. And it's got to change. It's got to change. I do think in the grand scheme of things, when he gets his statue, it will be good vibes and good feelings and things like that, but there will be something in the back of your head. Because of right, I mean, I can get nasty, and I said it at 6 a.m. this morning, and I don't want to be this way, but it's like, all right, well, then what's a statue really mean? You got two legends over there, and then you have a statue. Well, why would we give a statue? He's been a really good regular season player who took a massive discount. All right, well, we're going to put his statue next to who? A guy who left us for more money? Like, that's not a reason to give statues. That's why, like, when Larry Doby breaks the color barrier and plays so well, that's a reason we have a statue. Bob Feller being arguably the greatest pitcher to ever do it, that's a reason for a statue. Now, Jim Thome was a prolific home run hitter, but then we're just handing it out for everybody. And I'm thinking big picture stuff when it's like, hey, man, we got to beat the Tigers today. It's frustrating. 216-474-0092. Do you believe that Jose is open to criticism, or should I look the other way?
Well, yeah.
Should I look the other way?
He, you know, this is just how it works, even though the playoffs many times can be a big-time departure from what it's been all season long. And how many guys in the majors would you have rather had over the last 10 regular seasons? Like, how many guys seriously are there in baseball that have been as consistent and have had the staying power that Jose Ramirez has had? Is it less than a handful? Like daily players? I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be a homer here, but this time of year, it always comes up right for the postseason. There will be national baseball people that'll be like, he's top 10 again in MVP, he's top 5 in MVP, and it's like, do people even know who Jose Ramirez is outside of Cleveland? Then he takes the home team discount, all-time home team discount that is so ridiculously low for what his market value was, and his agent demanded that he go back to the bargaining table. Like, this is why we have a special place in our heart for Jose. But at some point, it's the playoffs. And I did tell you, granted, way less games. I mean, Mike Trout's played in 3 playoff games.
Yeah, so, no, he gave us a discount, and he's been a fantastic player for us. But in the postseason, so far, it's been a dud. And because it's been a dud, like, that's going to be something that sticks with people. Because we don't have very many veterans. The one consistent piece has been Jose. Well, I don't think I'm going to say any of this stuff when he's 38 years old or 40 years old and he's getting a statue put up. I don't believe I'm going to say that stuff. But as of right now, it's a frustrating, disheartening thing. It's where he goes up to the plate, and I don't think a lot of people have a lot of confidence that it's going to change. We're kind of hoping, and we know that he has to hit from the left side of the plate because of matchups. Okay, A.J. Hinch is playing that. He still is supposed to hit well in – is it still Comerica Park?
It is, yeah.
Okay, he still hits well in Comerica Park. It's got to be better because I don't think I can count on anybody else to start it other than him. So if it can't come from him – Stephen Kwan can get on base. I believe in Stephen to get on base. And Rocchio has been good. But Rocchio and Stephen Kwan are not the guys that I'm supposed to really 100% count on. Jimenez has been timid at the plate. I couldn't help but agree with Zach Meisel throughout this entire season. So I can't count on him, even though he's a $100 million player in his own right. For what I have in Jose Ramirez, what's been invested in Jose, it's simply got to be better. 216-474-0092. Mike and Shaker Heights, you're first up on the Fan.
Ken, this is why I love listening to you, man, because you don't give me Homer opinions, man. Hometown Homer opinions, man. I love how...
I've never heard the term Homer next to the term Ken Carmen in a sentence. I've never seen it.
Ooh.
No, and you never will, because Ken call it like he see it, and he don't just try to tell us it's sunshine when it's raining outside. You know what I mean? And look, Jose, this team go is Jose Ramirez go. He has never showed up in the postseason. I don't have a lot of confidence in tonight, but I'm optimistic because I'm a Cleveland Guardians fan. But it's like, what's going on is in between his two ears. You know what I mean? Like, he's never showed up in the postseason game. And then you got Frankie Lindor. Everybody that leads Cleveland, they do good, man. Flacco, Francisco, look at Baker. Like, why is it that they can't do this when they play here?
Well, let me tell you about Lindor. Like, there's some people getting mad. And listen, the Dolans are the owners of the team. It's the same thing with the other two. Like, they're where the buck ends. And because we're in this same frustrated place, it is right on the Dolans, all right? But let me say this about Francisco Lindor. I believe Lima 100% when he said it. Lima was right. If you would have matched any team dollar for dollar on any sort of an offer, if Francisco Lindor were to ever be a free agent with this club, he was not going to pick Cleveland. It wasn't going to happen.
He wanted a big city.
So they tried to invest in the player that they could invest in. They invested in Jose Ramirez. Right now, we're getting that discount play. I mean, you get what you pay for in a lot of things, and right now we're getting what we pay for, but right now he's got to be more. He means more to this team than what a lot of us realize. And I mean, we have put the gloves on so many times, and I don't want to take them off. Because, Mike, you know, when we think about him, and thank you for the call, it's very hard for me to say it. He's a good guy. He's done good works. He's made Cleveland his home. And it's so rare in that sport that it happens. So rare in any sport, for crying out loud. I keep getting rumors about Browns players putting their houses up for sale right now. So it's rare for any sport. So I want to give proper respect. And frankly, I don't want to say a bunch of crap now that I'm going to regret saying a decade from now, when he definitely takes his place as one of the greatest guardians of all time. But if he wants to be the greatest guardian of all time, it's got to be better than this. If he wants to be a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame, it has to be better than this.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned.
He will be a all-star 6 times over now, right? He will be an MVP top 5 vote-getter 5 times in his career at the end of this season.
Kenny,
he should be a legitimate Hall of Famer, but I don't know if he's going to be because there's other names that get thrown in there. I hope because of the steroid era, he gets put in because I do believe he deserves it. But a postseason run solidifies it for this man. And I'm not getting it.
It's 35 postseason games. He's batting .233. The crazy thing is, it just takes a couple of good games and it erases everything. It changes the narrative on this so quickly with that small sample.
I've been so flip-floppy looking at these stats as everyone's saying what they're saying about him.
The last caller just said he's never been good. I mean, he batted .333 in the 2022 playoffs. His batting average, .233. It's not the greatest. That's not horrible. The biggest deficit, though, I see, he's only got 35 career postseason games. He's got 13 RBI. He's supposed to be your guy that moves people across the dish.
All right, Browns take on the Philadelphia Eagles coming up on Sunday. Going to talk about the game and what the Browns intend to do with Deshaun Watson. Mary Kay Cabot joins us, as she does every Thursday at 8:20, for on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She is from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. If Deshaun Watson continues to play like this, how much longer is this going to go?
Well, I think the thing right now with Deshaun Watson that they have to figure out, okay, if this season is going to be over, what you still need to determine is what is the future for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland? And you might have to find that out by continuing to play him and seeing exactly what he is and what he can do so you can make smart and wise decisions for your future. What they have to do right now is help him become a functional quarterback. And he was that in the Raiders game. He was a functional quarterback that you can win games with. And that's what they have to find out. Can he be that, or is he not that anymore? And so you have to continue to gather your data and figure these things out. And you might have to try some different things to try to wake that up or inspire him. Maybe you have to try some kind of a different scheme. Maybe you have to try some different personnel. But what you need to know is he finished? Is he done? And if you bench him right now, you are basically saying he is done. We cannot win any games with him. He is dysfunctional or non-functional. We cannot get the job done with him. And I don't think they're at that point yet. I also don't think they're at the point where they think that they have a better alternative right now that would fix this problem. It is a systemic problem. Maybe if they can fix some of the things around him, they can see, and what none of us know yet if it'll work, but they can see if Deshaun Watson can be more functional than he has been to this point. So I think these are some of the things that they have to think about.
Do you believe that he can be fixed, Deshaun Watson?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question, but I do think that they need to find out if they can do certain things around him to get more out of him. And I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think that they do either. I think if they thought that the answer to the season's problems were to bench him and put Jameis or Dorian in there, I think they would be doing that right now. And maybe they're to the point where at some point they will do that. But right now in this moment, I don't think that Kevin Stefanski believes that Jameis or Dorian would be the answer, would give them a better chance to win a football game. And that's how he makes his decisions. Now, you're going to get to a certain point in the season where that's not how you make your decisions. When you know you're out of it, then you make your decisions based on other things. But right now, I still believe that they are making their decisions based on who do they think can go out there and help them win a football game.
Yeah, but when we're talking about, well, they got to try this, that, and the other, it's starting to sound like 2021, where I thought that they were a team that was figuring out whether or not they wanted to pay their quarterback, who was playing injured, a $300 million contract or whatever it was going to be. And I feel that it's really quickly turning into this, and I might feel it already. Are we trying to win football games? Or are we trying to salvage whatever we can with this quarterback who's just not playing well right now?
Well, what did you think after the Raiders game? Did you think that he was somewhat functional in the Raiders game? Because I watched that game, I watched it over, and I felt that he was functional and actually made some decent plays in that game and looked better than he had in many other games that I've seen him play there. And I thought that gave them a little bit of hope. So what if they can get that guy back? What if they can find ways to see if Deshaun Watson can play, let's just say, decent football for now, not great football, but let's say Raiders football. If they can get him to that point, then maybe you have something to work with. Maybe you have something to build on. If you say right now, one game after that, one bad game after a good game, that he's absolutely 100% finished, you're making a big, big decision there, because that's something that you have to be sure about if you're going to give up on your $230 million three first-round quarterback right now.
Okay, I agreed with you after the Las Vegas game. I said that if he continues to play like this and they continue to lose, they ain't going to blame him. He is not going to be replacement level if he plays the way he did against the Raiders. Problem is, got cussed out by listeners over that. So it's not a good situation because, again, they're 1-4. Fans want to win, and they want him to play still much better than what he's been playing. I think a lot of people, it's been 2.5 years, they're running out of patience.
And I totally understand that. I really do. But as an organization, to make that decision right now in this moment in time that he is absolutely finished and done and that you're done with him and it's time to move on from him as your quarterback and that there is no future for him and there is no hope for him whatsoever, I don't know if they're at that point, and I don't know if they should be at that point right at this moment. If you thought that you could get a Joe Flacco-like rush and burst from this football team by putting someone else in and that you could save the season, then I think you would probably go ahead and do that. And I think if they thought they had that available to them, that they probably would be doing that. I think that they're looking at it and thinking, if they can get, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think they're thinking, if they can get functional Raiders-type football out of Deshaun, and if everybody else around him elevates their level of play a little bit as well, and if they change some things up from a schematic standpoint to try to make him look a little bit better, let's say prop him up, call it whatever you want to. But if they can get a little bit more out of him, then they can continue trying to figure out if they have to move on from him or if they can get something out of him anymore.
Well, Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. The flip side of that, when we talk about the risk in just continuing down this path, is that the fan, the chorus of boos, the fans, the resentment, the fact that I keep hearing from our listeners and buddies of mine that are season ticket holders that this is the most unlikable Browns team they can remember. They have no connection, to this team outside of Nick Chubb and maybe Myles Garrett. They're so down on this team and the players that played the game. I mean, Rodney McLeod was in here on Tuesday, and we're talking body language and how to maintain a locker room that actually has belief. If they continue with Watson and he's playing like this, they're going to lose that belief.
Okay, but what if you continue with Watson and he plays Raider-type football in Philadelphia against like the 27th defense in the NFL? What if it looks better? What if everybody around him plays a little better? Now, I don't think it's going to be easy because they have an amazing interior defensive line, and they are going to come after whoever you have in there. If Ethan Posick's not playing and Zach Zinter and Nick Harris are in there, that's going to be a long afternoon on the interior, and it's going to be hard to get the job done. But if you can somehow play good football and protect the quarterback to the best of your ability and get something out of him and maybe even get a victory, which again, I know that's not going to be easy, but if you can get a victory, it changes things. It's week to week in the NFL. And if you can get a victory, it changes the climate. Okay. I mean, if let's just say for instance, they throw that touchdown pass on 4th and 3 from the 9 against the Raiders, and that's a victory. Or the 82-yard pass isn't called back, and that's a victory. One victory can change the vibe, the climate, everything. Why not? I think you'll have to find out, what does this quarterback have left in him? Does he have anything left in him? We don't know. We saw some sparks versus the Raiders. What if there's a little bit more of that? And what if they can call it a little bit differently? What if some of the receivers hang on a little bit differently? What if everybody blocks a little bit better? What if Deshaun sees things better? What if they can make it look more functional than it did last week in Washington, which was horrible? I mean, we can all agree that was horrible. But I don't know if it was to the point where you can say, we're done with this guy and we have to go in a complete other direction right now.
Mary Kay bringing it strong here on a Thursday right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. We had Ross Tucker on the afternoon show yesterday with Nick and Jonathan, and he said that he still thinks Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, that combination is a top 10 GM and coach combo in the NFL. So what can we do to make sure that they keep their jobs if we feel that strongly about them? Because as we know, when things go off the rail in Cleveland, Jimmy Haslam makes changes.
Well, it's going to be tough. I'm not saying it's going to be tough for them to keep their jobs, but it's going to be tough to get this thing turned around if you have to give up on Deshaun Watson and figure out your quarterback situation, because, of course, you are saddled with the enormous salary, that huge amount of money that you have to deal with and impacts your entire roster. So they will have the challenge of a lifetime to try to figure out how to overcome that. They would have to catch lightning in a bottle and find some low-budget quarterback that could come in and save them and get this thing turned around. And they're out there. I mean, it happens for other people. Other teams find the Brock Purdy's of the world and, you know, and quarterbacks that can come in and win football games for you. So they would have to do that if they get to the point where they understand and they know and they realize that it's absolutely time to move on from Deshaun Watson. But you have to be sure. You have to make sure that it's not because, okay, he's coming off of shoulder surgery and we tried to put in a new scheme and we just didn't really necessarily have a handle on what that was going to look like. Or our offensive line was very challenged at the tackle positions this year, or our receiving corps took a little while to get involved. There are so many, we didn't have Nick Chubb, whatever. I think they need to know all of those things before they are ready to make this very monumental decision.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Kevin Stefanski, will he ever reach a point where he gives up play calling this year?
You know, I think more so than anything, maybe he'll make it more collaborative, and I think he was almost trying to say that this week, that maybe there will be a little bit more collaboration on that. Certainly, what they need to do is figure out a scheme that's going to help Deshaun Watson function better than he is right now. And if that's going to be the Ken Dorsey stuff, then maybe you let Ken have more say in it. I don't know that Kevin's going to completely turn it over, because everything is such a mess right now. You don't necessarily want to throw that hot potato into Ken Dorsey's lap, although this week I did call for him to call plays because I thought that that they needed something to shake it up. If you're not going to change the quarterback, then you have to try something to show the team and yourselves and everyone that you're willing to do something somewhat drastic to jumpstart this thing. But if anything, I think those guys will probably collaborate more. But what they have to do, what they must do, is find something or some set of things that this offense can feel good about and be confident about, because there is something that I agree with Jonathan Allen about. You cannot play good football if you are not confident. And Deshaun Watson did not look like a confident quarterback in that game. And I even asked him yesterday, were you pressing? Were you trying too hard? Things fall apart when you do that. You cannot play like that. So if they can give him some things that he can feel confident in doing, and he can gain some momentum between the ears there, and feel good about himself the way that he did in the second half, let's say, in that Baltimore game when he got in the zone, then that changes things. So it's incumbent upon them this week to find those things.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. Outstanding as usual. There's a lot going on right now because of this interview. We thank you very much, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tara on Twitter says, Mary Kay was telling the hard truth on with Anthony and I. Fans and national media need to hear it. They need Watson to be better, or you're taking a flamethrower to the next 5 years. Hashtag Browns. I would say, yeah, I think a lot of fans are at that point. I think they're at that point. I don't think you have to take a flamethrower to the next 5 years. It's just going to be you are fighting a very uphill battle. And, I mean, when you have Albert Breer saying, well, he's going to be the quarterback in 2025, I go, how can he? If he plays like this, you got to sell a ticket.
Kenny, I said he's going to get benched this week. We're in two totally different spectrums here on the argument, which I guess makes this game really interesting.
The easiest way for, honestly, I mean, we can recognize this, that the easiest way out of all of this is he plays much better. That's the easiest way out of all of this. The realistic way out of all of this is that eventually you're going to have to make a very tough decision. And then they'll do what I predict they're going to do, which I'm very, very positive they're going to do, is where, guys, dust off your draft books, get ready to have these arguments again, watch a lot of Colorado football, Miami football, and Texas football, and so on, and LSU, and get ready because you're going to take a quarterback. Because it's the only quarterback, it's the only player that you can take that you can afford, and will inspire the fans. that they can get behind and rally behind. Like Jameis Winston, unless Jameis Winston becomes old Jameis Winston, you're not going to, like, he'll play a little bit, that's it, and you won't inspire the fans. DTR, a little bit, but if DTR just becomes a backup in the league, that's not going to do anything. First round draft pick, football teams are obsessed with taking quarterbacks, getting quarterbacks, they'll probably do it. And it will leave him in a not so great situation because your offensive line still isn't going to be that good, and you're going to have to lose some of these guys because of salary cap implications. It's going to be very, very difficult for everybody involved. But that's what they would probably do. Also, somebody says, you jumped on the fact that it's Baker all over again. Incorrect. But she's asking you, Mary Kay, to trust the same people who got that wrong to figure this out. Whoopsie-daisy.
Whoopsie-daisy.
Oh, boy. 216-474-0092.
Kenny, I don't know if you can see the reflection of what I'm watching right now.
What are you watching? I can't see it.
Manny's Colorado Baylor highlights.
Oh, I can see it.
He does. What the stuff that Jaden Daniels is doing, holy cow, he gets out of a few of these. They're very Lamar Jackson-like situations
here. So you have put... We're just going to have to hold off on the Bob Costas, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
This is where we're at here. You're putting good Ken and evil Ken on my shoulders.
We'll do it on the podcast.
Because good Ken is saying, he's very slight and he holds on to the ball too long. Even good Ken is saying, he's gotten a lot better since Jackson State to last year to now. He's gotten a lot better.
Imagine professional development.
And evil Ken sitting there going, Owen said it himself, the afternoon prime.
Let's remind people, because if his son's coming here, Dion is getting a spot on our station.
Ken,
he's getting a radio show.
Kenny, hey dummy, you had his turf shoes when you were a kid. You like his sunglasses. You've defended Coach Prime before. No, we can't do that. You're putting him in a bad spot. He holds onto the ball too long. Deshaun already holds onto the ball too long. We're going to get the poor kid killed.
Owen, we need Berman doing prime time with Tom Jackson.
Oh, my gosh.
We need it.
You're killing me, Tone. You're killing me.
This is my house.
You are killing me. I can't. No. I want to be put in a little bit of a better mood. Am I going to be put in a better mood? Let's put the Bob Costas out there. It was bad enough for the Guardians yesterday. It might have been even worse.
Kenny's refusing full lines. He's like, nope, we are not going down that path.
I am looking the other way. Guys, I've gotten very used to ignoring elephants in the room. That ain't going to change. It was bad enough for the Guardians last night. I hate to do this. We got Noah Eagle coming on next, another play-by-play guy. We are not going to ask him about Bob Costas.
Might not get it in.
You got the Bob Costas last night. Here, hit it. This is the Yankees-Royals game.
Line drive, base hit to center field. It was smothered out there. I don't know if it was caught.
It was caught.
Oh, my gosh. What a play.
Oh, poor Bob.
We had him on last year. I was defending him. We had Bob on. Syracuse legend. I was so excited to have him on, Kenny.
Newhouse boys.
We have to. And when we have Noah Eagle on coming up in 8 minutes.
You boys stick together.
Are you going to play that clip for Noah?
No. Honestly, we're going to put him in a bad spot. He can't do that. And plus, he's Ian's son, and Ian is our friend. We're not going to put him in that position.
Maybe Bob's just having trouble. Maybe the eyes are giving him trouble. Come on. Give him a break.
I don't know. People have been tweeting about it all day, how rough it was yesterday.
Some of these press boxes are really high, okay? It's not going to get them all right.
Isn't that at Kauffman Field?
Kauffman Stadium.
Whatever. How high up is that?
Well, let me go to my elevation.
I've only seen
MLB
it.
Press box elevation.
I've only seen it from the outside. I don't know what it looks like on the inside there. It looks pretty tall.
Well, the last time I was there is 1995, and I was yelling the F word at Kirby Puckett, so I couldn't tell you.
Did he yell the F word back?
He squinted at me and said, "Who are you?"
Okay, Judas Priest.
Did Costas weigh in
put
on
the safety back on you, psycho?
Mitch, did Costas during that game weigh in on the Middle East crisis?
Golly,
I think you might have mentioned that in the third inning.
Put your safety back on, and you put.
Tough turkey about some political stuff.
It.
I like that. Okay, sorry.
Well, right now that might be better than the play-by-play. He's 72 years old.
It was either this or unsophisticated takes with Anthony Lyman.
I already had one today.
Yeah, baseball's baseball.
Yeah, okay. That's baseball.
We got Lindsay Baseball tweeting at us, former producer. Mm-hmm. It says, Ken, and she's a producer out in L.A. She's doing a great thing. And she says, Ken, compare Mookie Betts and Aaron Judge in the postseason to Jose Ramirez. I says, I did. My problem is, though, is if I sit there and go, guys, it's okay that Jose Ramirez has struggled this postseason because Aaron Judge has struggled in the postseason. You guys don't care. Aaron Judge don't play for the Guardians, and he never will play for the Guardians. They don't care.
I tried to bring up Mike Trout's only had three playoff games.
And Lima goes, Ken, that's why it's baseball. And I said, I hate that argument over everything
else. You wanted to slap me in the face.
I hate that argument. I've never physically accosted you when I almost came over the table at you. That was all during a break. Imagine what we're going to do on air.